The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Have a listen to this unforgettable voice.
And we used to go to this caravan site, and we used to go to Auntie Bridie's mobile home, because that's why we were able to stay there for the month, because Auntie Bridie gave it to us at a very reasonable rate, which was absolutely nothing, right? So then we all went, and every time we got to the caravan site, the car would always get stuck, and that feeling then, the father would start to, that's when the father really freaked out, because he'd start giving out about the man that owned the caravan site, how come he couldn't be down the road when there should be a road there, he's making enough money off the caravan site and he didn't bother. Granny's, when the rain kept coming down, the car got stuck. If the car was stuck, the father couldn't get to the pub. Right, problem number one. If my father couldn't get to the pub, that was a serious problem. A lot of men in Ireland need to get to the pub, do you know what I mean? Mother doesn't matter, mother's in it. We want to go swimming, we can't go swimming. Day two, there we are inside the mobile home. We haven't left, right? The rain is still coming down, the car's stuck outside.
Actor, comedian, musician and writer, the late John Kenny, who was the epitome of the saying, a larger-than-life character, a storyteller and a trailblazer alike. He shot to fame as one half of Dunbelievables, a duo he began with Pat Short, whom he met in the 1980s. Well, Pat Short himself is with me now, because there's going to be an episode of Clough na Carran on RT on New Year's Eve, paying tribute to the life and works of the late John Kenny. So, Pat, good morning and welcome.
Well, thank you, Pat. And where do you start?
Well, we shall not see his like again, that's for sure.
No, absolutely. I mean, I was thinking about coming in to meet you today and ran the programme. I'm a contributor on the programme, obviously. And where do you start? What do you talk about, John? How much time have you got?
Talk to us about his beginnings, you know, because he wasn't great in school.
No, he was. Well, you see, John was dyslexic, actually, and he always taught me that. Obviously, school was, back in those days, people didn't understand what dyslexia was and how to cope with it. So it kind of hindered him in school, but he leaned more towards kind of creative side of him then as a result. And I think at the age of 15, he joined a band and they took off touring, a band called Gimmick.
They were a glam rock band.
They were, yeah. But he was very successful. They had recorded a lot of music. They were one of the first Irish bands, if not kind of European bands, to tour into Russia in the early days. Oh God, his name's failing me now. But I remember when myself and John were playing in the Tricycle Theatre in London. A bunch of old rockers came in to see us, and there were a band called Mud. And John had toured them, who Mud were huge, Tiger Feet, that song and everything else. And they came to see John because he had toured with them back in the 70s.
Now, when did the comedy start?
With John, I think what happened was the band finished up and he actually went into Theatre Omnibus. He went in working with them, which was a dance group predominantly, which were also theatrical. And John always had a flair towards theatre. And when he finished up with Theatre Omnibus, he toured all over Ireland and Europe and America with them, actually.
This was straight theatre?
Yeah, straight theatre. And it was John Regan and Gene Regan and Bear Dowd were part of the group with John. And John Regan was one of the greatest ballet dancers in the world. He was originally from Mayo and went off and toured the world and did massive Hollywood movies. And he had sold up in Spain and moved back to Ireland. And he formed a group in Limerick called Theatre Omnibus. And it was a mix of ballet, straight dance, theatre, clowning, all sorts of things. It was quite incredible. They were an incredible troupe. And when that finished, John's kind of to make a living, he'd done singing. He learned the guitar and started playing in pubs in Limerick and around the area. But John being John, in between every song, he'd rant on like what you just listened to. And he'd go off on a mad story. And it got to a stage where the comedy took over.
I think that's exactly the way Brendan Grace started.
That is correct.
He was with the Ginger Men as the front man, the singer.
Yeah.
And then the links between the songs got longer and longer and longer.
Billy Connolly the same.
Yeah.
Actually, he started...
Humble Bums, I think he was involved with.
Yeah. So that's kind of how John started off in comedy. Then he was doing the Bag of Ian, I think, and John Keogh, the producer in RTÉ, spotted him and asked him to go on with Davis at Large, TV programme that was on at the time, doing comedy sketches and stuff like that. And John brought out a single at the time then called Spancel Hill, a reggae version of it, which climbed into the charts and became a huge hit for him. So that kind of launched, and that was around that time when I met John. That was in the early 80s.
And where did you meet him and how did you come across
him? Well, a brother of mine was a photographer, and Bear Dowd, who's a great artist, and was a part of Dealer Omnibus, was from Turles, and himself and Tom had been in art college together. So Tom started doing a lot of the photography and the imagery for Dealer Omnibus, and then when John went out on his own, he started doing it for John. So John would visit Tom in Turles and that, and when I was still doing my leavings and that, I met John, and sure, we were all in awe of him because he was...
He'd had a hit.
He had a huge hit, and he was also an RTÉ star as well, you know. And
what were you doing at that point?
Well, I went to art college in Limerick, but I was playing saxophone with a blues band in Turles, and I was always into music. And I did a few sessions with John playing music, and we just kind of hit off on a bit of crack. So he asked me up to Costello's Tavern in Limerick to do a residency there. He was doing it every Wednesday night, and I went up on Wednesday nights while I was in art college, and I used to get up and play the sax. And actually, that piece you just listened to at the start was the very first piece we did together. That was about going on holidays to Kilkee and the mobile home. It was a hilarious piece that John used to do. And then we'd break into... this is the theatrical side of John. The two of us miming being on a beach, which would eventually morph into me picking up the saxophone and John singing Summertime and me playing Summertime with a beautiful rendition of it. So that was the first piece I did with him in Costello's, actually. And I'll never forget it because I was just going up to play Summertime. But after a week, I'm in my underpants under. And he's spitting out water as if he's after coming up from underwater. And it was just mental through the crowd. And that was the start of
the tour. So that was the first time you realised that you had a comic sensibility?
Oh, I didn't realise it, did I? It took me a few more years after that. I started doing Sound and Lights with John then. He was always messing, always turning stuff into creative, turning things into sketches and comedy sketches. And it was all very physical. But he was like that in every day. He just couldn't resist having the crack. Yeah. I remember there was a musician friend of ours in Wexford, and he had a set of drums, and he was from Care, and he wanted us to drop him off at the hotel where his mother was the receptionist, but she wasn't working that day. So John pulls up the van outside, of course, and just takes out the bass drum and says to the manager, ballroom, and he says, down below. So we start bringing in a drums, a cymbal. You know, I said, what are you up to? I said, geez, we're going to get set up before the crowd come up. He said, what crowd? The wedding. He said, we're playing the wedding today. What wedding? They're all below in the church. He said, so the manager went into overdrive that he had no wedding on his books. He locked us out of the hotel. He couldn't resist a messer. Yeah. And then he'd take something like that, maybe put more structure to it and put it on the stage.
And the term Dunbelievables, where did that come from and when did that come?
That came about from a show we did called... Our first show was It's My Shout, we did together. And I was 3 or 4 years on the road with John before I was going up and down doing sketches. And we eventually decided, look, I better get up on the stage all the time because I was in every second sketch. And we get a sound engineer in. And then the second show we did was One Hell of a Do. And that was based around a wedding band, the best wedding
brilliant
band,
show.
An award that they won. And the band members were called The Unbelievables. That was their name. That was a great show. It lasted, we normally tour a show for a year. We ended up year 3 still touring with this show because theatres kept bringing us back. We moved from smaller venues up. We spent months in New York doing...
And of course you terrified your audiences.
Oh, yeah,
because,
yeah.
I mean, you were likely to, even at the interval, mix with them.
Well, you see, what we used to do was every venue would become the event. And in this case, it was a wedding. And we had the church scene and everyone at the church. And then we'd go from there into the first dance with the bride and groom, something around. But we'd get the audience up on the stage dancing with, and we were the two musician characters. And the name Dunbelievables took over and people started calling us the Unbelievables. So we just said, look, sometimes they didn't even know who Pat Short and John Kenny was.
But to be introducing a total stranger to someone who was another total stranger as the mother of the bride.
That's right. And we used to get people that didn't know each other up dancing. Sure, there was some very funny time. You know, I remember there was one couple we dragged up on stage and they literally ran off the stage, out the back door of the theatre and gone. And we were like, what is after happening? Only to find out later they weren't supposed to be together.
Shades of Coldplay.
A touch of Coldplay about it, exactly. So we had to improvise then, like, because we'd no bride and groom for the rest of the show. So John was, of course, straight in with, like, Johnny's after having a nag and said something about her mother. They're still upstairs. We're going to try to get it off. And we got people to go outside to mediate with them and all sorts of things. And made it part of the show, but it was always a bit of crack like that.
Yeah. The characters that you developed, I mean, the GAA was writ large for John. And you terrified me as the teacher.
Oh, yeah. Well, all the characters were based on somewhat on people we knew. I mean, the GA character, John did, was a famous GA character. I won't mention any names, down in the County Limerick area, very well known. And he was a character, larger than life, a big, big man. So John had big hands made up, like, just because this character, the hands were always gone, because that's what this character was like. And the teacher character, I mean, I think everyone would know, everybody's been through the school system. So it was, again, just picking on not one teacher, but maybe five teachers I had, yeah, that all had different things. And then it all became one. And that's kind of how we did it, you know. But John was incredible at that improvisation.
Now, the both of you had done over the years telly separately and together. Father Ted, both of you in Father Ted.
Yeah, that was a gas one. I mean, the lads, Graham and Arthur, were great to Irish comedians at the time. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say it put Irish comedy on the international scene.
When you think
scene.
Of Graham Norton in The Caravan.
Graham Norton, Tommy Tiernan went on to win, Dylan Moore and Tommy Tiernan all went on to win Perrier afterwards. There was a huge interest in Irish comedians and yeah, Graham Norton, like,
but the whole anarchy of Father Ted is incredible, isn't it? I mean, all the comedians, I'm relishing the idea of playing these anarchic priests.
Yeah, it was something. I mean, it stood the test of time. It's still a great show.
Very funny.
I was doing a thing, and I was telling you this story earlier on in BBC, and it's funny how the years move on. But in the green room, a lot of the English comedians I was working with were all fascinated with Father Ted, wanting to know all different stories. And one young guy who was 18 turned around and says, "What's Father Ted?" Now, he does spend a lot of his time in America, but still, I was shocked.
Now, John, unfortunately, he left us far too soon.
Yes.
He battled with cancer. He got through his first bout and then succumbed to the second one.
Well, yeah, I mean, he did have a struggle with health. There's no question of it. And, it was a shame to see it. Last time I worked with him, it was on Banshees of Inisherin. And that was a lovely to get to work with him on that. And we kind of sat down on that one. I hadn't seen John in quite a while. We live at different sides of County Limerick, bump into each other in the market in Limerick every so often. He was lovely to Faye when she started touring with me first. He met her in the market and went, "What are you doing?" I'm going off with this one. And he gave her some great advice on that. It was lovely, actually. But on Banshees, he told me a bit about his health struggles, and he'd been through a lot. But he was, he came out the far side of it. You know, unfortunately, the heart was weakened, I would say, by, you know, the years of whatever, you know, illness does to you, you know what I mean? And he was taken way too soon, there's no question of it, you know.
I'm looking forward to seeing the document. New Year's Eve it is, just to relive some of those glory days with John and yourself. Now, you've done so many things, serious movies and comedy, and you're involved in another comedy series in the UK at the moment.
Yeah. I was on The Reluctant Vampire. We were shooting. Lenny Rush is the lead guy in it, the young fella. He won the BAFTA there for his last program, which has failed me now too. But working with a lot of great English comedians, Ross Noble, Bill Bailey, Tom Davis, Ashid, whatever his second name is, terrible. But it's set in a village in we're shooting in the Cotswolds, and set in a fictitious village. It's very funny. It's a very funny show. But it was written by Morecambe.
Eric Morecambe,
yeah, originally wrote the Reluctant Vampire, the story, and the book and that, and his son finished it, and then they turned it into a screenplay for BBC.
So we'll see it sometime next year.
You'll see it next year, yeah.
In the meantime, we're going to watch John Kelly. It's an episode of Clochlacarn, which will be airing on RTE on New Year's Eve, paying tribute to the life and works of John. And Pat Short, his partner in crime and everything else.
Yeah.
Pat Short, thank you very much for joining us in studio. Lots of comments coming in, which I'll bring to our listeners in a little while.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.